Introducing Oakley Meta Vanguard, the new performance AI glasses designed for athletes with an action-ready ultra-wide camera, powerful open-ear speakers, and built-in Meta AI that syncs with your Garmin devices for real-time insights while you train. Take your performance to the next level with Oakley Meta Vanguard. Athletic intelligence is here. Learn more on meta.com.
I didn't think the pain from the shingles rash would affect simple everyday tasks like bathing, getting dressed, or even walking around. I was wrong. Though not everyone at risk will develop it, 99% of people over the age of 50 already have the virus that causes shingles, and it could reactivate at any time. I developed it, and the blistering rash lasted for weeks. Don't learn the hard way, like I did. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist today. Sponsored by GSK.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Parental discretion is advised.
A Springer Dinger!
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Jameer, you got no shot at catching that man!
Earlier on the show, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Still to come, three-time Super Bowl champion, Mark Schlereth. Author Jeff Perlman. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great chat with Albert Breer in hour number one. Coming up, Jeff Perlman, the author. He's got a new book on the life and times of Tupac Shakur in hour number three. It'll be a great chat. We've got Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday coming up shortly. We just recorded the latest episode of Overreaction Monday. As soon as I got back from London yesterday, best episode we've had. And it's not because of your tremendous hard work, Chris.
Oh,
it was.
Okay.
It's because my bag came out first.
Right.
I can't believe off an international flight. First time that ever happened. My bag came out first.
Really?
Yeah. And I was just, it was the wind beneath my wings.
Okay.
You know, walking into the studio here to record that episode. No contest wrestling. O'Shea Jackson Jr. and TJ Jefferson talking Wrestling with George Kittle. You got to check that out. That's available wherever you get your podcasts. Also on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Over a million subscribers to all of that. We greatly appreciate every last one of you. We're here on Disney Plus, the ESPN app everywhere, and ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, one of my favorites. Love listening to him call a game on Fox, fresh off of the Panthers and the Jets getting ready for the Patriots and the Browns on Fox is three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth. Good to see you, Mark. How are you, sir?
I am doing great. Got to watch you the last 2 weeks London as I was sitting in the stadium watching you call the game with Kurt. So
thanks,
always fun to get to hear you guys.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I don't know what was more taxing, calling the Jets loss to the Broncos or you having to watch it back to prepare for this game against the Carolina Panthers, Mark. What did the game look like watching it back?
It looked as bad as you think it looked. It's really interesting. I will say this, the Jets defensively, they're legitimate, man. Yeah. They can play on the defensive side of the ball. They're really, really good. Unfortunately, offensively, they are, I'll just be kind and say they're a work in progress. Here's one of the things I always say, Rich.
Yes.
Just find one thing that you can do well. I'm not asking for just one thing. Just find one thing that you can do well and do that one thing and then build off of that. Find some ancillary things that you can build off that so you can become tangential in your offense, right? This one thing is the root of what we do. And then we've got a few branches here and there that we can be successful with. But as we speak, there is nothing the Jets offense does well. And I mean nothing. So you got to go back to the drawing board on that one.
Let's talk about the rest of the league at this point in time. Mark Schlereth here on the Rich Eisen Show. You have been involved in some tremendous moments in the history of the Denver Broncos, Mark. But watching that fourth quarter comeback on the New York Giants and what happened there in Denver in front of the Broncos faithful is something I've never seen before. And as a matter of fact, NFL teams had won 1,608 consecutive games on leading by 18 or more points with less than 6 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter, as the Giants did. And now those teams are now 0 for their last one. What was that like for a multiple Super Bowl winner for the Denver Broncos to watch that game,
Mark? It was incredible, because as great as that fourth quarter was, it was equally that bad in the first three quarters. They were pathetic. I mean, they did nothing well, from incomplete passes that were errant throws to lack of blocking on the perimeter, running bubble screens where tight ends and wide receivers are just basically saying, I choose not to block today. And like, those things frustrate the heck out of me. So consistent mistakes. The first three plays of the game, play number one for the Broncos, overthrow. Play number two for the Broncos, drop pass. Play number three for the Broncos, missed block at left tackle, forces Bo out of the pocket, and they end up going three and out. And that's how the entirety of the first three quarters of the game went. So to all of a sudden be able to execute, for all of a sudden to make the plays that you haven't made the entirety of the game, and for you to hang in there and not just hang your hat and say, hey, man, today wasn't our day. We came back from London. We were exhausted. Whatever the excuse is, whatever the reason is, whatever you want to call it, to be able to come back and win that football game. And my flight was delayed, so I was sitting in New York watching that game play out. And, you know, I'm just surrounded by Giant fans.
Oh, boy.
And to watch that thing go down and to watch the utter disgust that they have while I was just a little guy in the corner with this joyous look on my face. Ah. It was incredible, Rich.
Why joyous? Because you know, the Broncos thing, right? Not right. The New York thing, right, Mark?
Right. Yeah. And you know one thing. You know one thing about me. I'm a very, very gracious loser, but I'm an absolute when it comes to winning.
I'm picking that up about Mark.
You know that I was rubbing it in a little bit.
I couldn't tell from that video you sent to Jets fans a few years ago on the old socials, putting your Super Bowl ring on your middle finger, Mark. I couldn't tell all that years ago. But really, that was just a joyous occasion for Broncos fans. That was... I've spoken to multiple Broncos fans since then who still can't believe it. And obviously they're in the mix right now, brother. I mean, especially since one of their losses was to the 6-1 Colts, the clear best team right now in the AFC, right? Colts are, or your favorites in the Kansas City Chiefs are now finally congealing, sir. What do you think here?
I would probably go Kansas City at this point just because of the history they have, because of the quarterback they have. One thing about the Colts, though, and this is something that to me always resonates, you know, in this fantasy football world that we live in, where it's all about wide receivers, all about tight ends, all about, you know, our quote unquote skill position players. The Indianapolis Colts just absolutely dominate the line of scrimmage, both offensively and defensively. And they're going to be in every game when they do that. I think Shane Steichen is vastly underrated. I think he does a really good job of making things pretty simple for his quarterback. And they're a damn good football team in Indianapolis right now. And I'm telling you, they are. I go back to the Broncos game that they won it never comes down to one play, but the leverage call was ridiculous anyhow, but that's NFL officiating. So, don't put yourself in that position on a 60 plus yard field goal, but the bottom line, they're a damn good football team. And, it is, you know, for me to watch Daniel Jones all those years struggle in New York and really not play, not play maybe up to the standard or not have the success that you were hoping that he would have, to watch him come into a situation, to go in and compete, to win that job, and then to be lights out over the course of the first seven games of the season. It's just an amazing story we probably don't talk enough about, Rich, to watch it. And we've seen some reclamation projects, right? Guys that just failed in other places, whether it's Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones. It's really cool to see these guys get a second opportunity, get coached up to figure it out and go out and have great success.
I've got Mark Schlereth here on the Rich Eisen Show, and we're, you know, the Colts are going to be taking on the Chiefs later on in the season. That's going to be one to just make a note of. I'll just quickly make a note of it right now. It's week 12, so that's coming up in about a month. Mark Schlereth here on the Rich Eisen Show, and they're number one. The Colts are number one in the AFC. And you're calling the home day game for the number two overall team in the AFC right now, the New England Patriots. I've got a diehard Patriot fan in Chris Brockman in the studio. Chris, do you want to let Schlereth know when the duck boat parade is prior to this weekend's game?
Yeah. See, Mark, here's the deal. All the workers are gathering up around Boston. They're changing right out the spark plugs. They're replacing the oil. They're making sure everything's well lubed because the duck boats are back in about... it's October, like four months.
It's this weekend, isn't it? This weekend.
Well, we gotta play the season first. Okay. I mean, it's only customary.
Boy. Interesting, yeah. Mark. I mean, it's all working. They just went three straight on the road. They won all three of them, every last one of them.
I don't like your tone, Rich Eisen.
Yeah, they probably ought to be undefeated. You look at their first 3 weeks of the season. I mean, they should have beat Pittsburgh and self-inflicted wounds. I mean, that's a 21-14 game. They had ample opportunity, red zone turnovers. They had five different turnovers. They were minus four in turnover differential. The first 3 weeks of the season, they were like 30th in penalties. So they had taken a bunch of penalties, made a bunch of mistakes, easily could have won those two games. And I'm telling you, they have played exceptional football under Mike Vrabel. And Mike Vrabel is just one of those dudes, man, that you watch him after they get a win. He's out there in the tunnel, you know, dapping up all his guys, hugging and loving on all his guys. He's a demanding dude, right? He demands greatness in practice. He's a grinder that way. But, man, they are playing hard for him. They've got his respect. And that guy right there, Drake May.
He's awesome.
I don't know that there's anybody playing any better than that dude right now. He has been lights out. And it's a really fun team to watch, which, you know, I think over the last 2 years, they went 4-13, 4-13. And now they're sitting at what, 5-2 and in first place in their division and having a win over the Buffalo Bills. It's amazing what they've been able to do in New England.
Well, we'll see what he does May in terms of a playoff run and making the playoffs, which I believe the Patriots are in line to do right now. And depending on how far he goes, you could put him up there if he goes as deep as Jaden Daniels did last year, the way that Jaden Daniels is having an injury-marred second season, that May is having the best first 2 years of that draft class in terms of Caleb, in terms of, you know, Penix, in terms of Bo Nix, who's been terrific. But as you pointed out at the beginning of this conversation, up and down with a lot of down, and J.J. McCarthy we're still waiting on. I mean, May has been spectacular.
He certainly has. You know, it's really interesting, too, because there are those guys that over the course of their careers have just proven to be unbelievable coordinators or, you know, or coaches in that regard, and then get to have that opportunity to be a head coach. And for whatever reason, it doesn't go well. And Josh McDaniels is in that realm. And it was really interesting. Last time I sat down with Josh McDaniels was a Carolina game. And they waxed the floor with the Carolina Panthers. And just talking to him about his year off, Rich, and like, all right, well, what'd you do after the Raiders fired you your year off? And he's like, man, I got a notebook with 78 pages of notes. I went to the Kansas City Chiefs training camp. I went to the Houston Texans training camp. There's another one in there that he went to. And then he said, I went to Ohio State. And I'm just seeing how people run their offense, how people run their team meetings, how people run their offseason, and just learned as much as I could possibly learn in my year off. And you go back to his year as a coordinator with Mac Jones and how well Mac Jones played. And then all of a sudden Mac Jones was lost in the desert. And now he's back with Kyle Shanahan playing really good football. It just matters who coaches you. It matters, you know, who's giving you the message and who's tutoring you in the game and allowing you to grow as a player and allowing you to understand the game at a more global level. And you can say what you want about his head coaching career, but man, that guy's one hell of an offensive coordinator.
A few minutes left here with Mark Schlereth on the Rich Eisen Show. Where does Dan Campbell rank in terms of guys that you would play for if you could get more snaps and play another season, Mark? Where is he ranked, man?
He'd be number one. He'd be right up there on the top. Like, you gotta love Dan Campbell. And I will tell you this, man. He plays the role of meathead well. Like he's like, that dude is smart. He understands offense. He understands what he's trying to do. And I will just tell you, walking into that facility before Dan Campbell was there to call a game, that place was a morgue, Rich. I mean, it was legitimately a morgue. You walk into that facility now, and we always talk about culture, and culture is one of those things that everybody wants, but it's really hard to develop. Man, you walk into the Detroit Lions now, everybody who works there, from the people who greet you at the gate when you come in, to the people in the, you know, the front greeting room, to the coaches and the cafeteria staff and the, you know, all the people in there, everybody's an essential employee and they all are treated that way. And you walk into that facility, man, it can be the dead of winter, man. That place is a ray of sunshine. And it's because of the culture that Dan Campbell has created in Detroit. It's amazing. Guys want to play hard for him, and they do. You see it all the time with just the excitement, the energy that team plays with.
Well, and I know that's what Jet fans are hanging their hats on to bring this whole thing full circle, Mark, is Aaron Glenn was on that staff that went 0-10-1 to start and then 1-6 to start the next season. And I'm sure, you know, the morgue analogy could be appropriate for what you just witnessed with the Jets right now at 0-7, right? I mean, yeah, like, that's it.
Yeah, but I felt like I did feel like going into the Jets facility, man, there's an energy in that facility. And Aaron Glenn is a good dude, man. He knows football. And I think they feel pretty confident. I think the players that I talked to, and I talked to a handful of them both on Sunday and both on Friday when I was in that facility, they love it, man. And so, you know, do they have to fix the offense? Yeah, they got to fix the offense. They got to figure out what that offense is. They're still trying to, you know, mess around with that. And I don't think they've solved their quarterback conundrum yet in New York. But those guys love playing for him. Quinnen Williams just raved about playing for Aaron Glenn. So I think they're on the right track. It just takes time. And one thing I know about kind of a turnover, and this happened in Denver over the last couple of years, talking to Sean Payton, you can't turn over the whole roster in 1 year. It takes you a while to wean out the guys that you don't want, the guys that aren't necessarily your guys. You can't just do it in one off season. It takes a little bit of time. So it is one of those things. I know nobody wants to be patient. Everybody wants an instant cup of coffee. It just doesn't work that way.
All right, last one for you. 3-5-2 teams in the West now that the Rams won in London. And Seattle wrapped up Week 7 by taking care of a Texans team coming off of a bye. Niners at 5-2. You could put your Mark Schlereth stinking podcast, stinking truth podcast marker on only one of them. What do you put the marker on, Mark?
I'd probably put it on the Rams. And the Rams, obviously, they have Matthew Stafford, and they've got some receivers, and Puka Nacua injured, you know, last week. And then the game you did in London, they just went to the tight ends. They said, okay, well, we don't have receivers this week? Okay, that's all right. We'll just focus on our tight ends, and we'll win that way. And, you know, love that about Sean McVay. They've got the quarterback. The other thing they have, they quietly, when they had a couple of down seasons or a down season, they quietly went and revamped their both lines of scrimmage first. Is at times unblockable. That guy is a freak show, and they can run the ball. They can control the line of scrimmage with that quarterback and the receivers they have. I would, if I was a gambling man and had to put an amount of money that mattered to me, I would put it on the Rams.
Yeah, 4 tight ends caught passes for the Rams, 3 touchdowns for Davante Adams. And you mentioned Verse. It's Byron Young who's got 9 sacks, tied with Brian Burns for the most in the NFL. He's a monster on the other side. A verse, and Fisk was doing his usual things. Landman is leading the team in tackles. The back end of the defense with Quentin Lake and all of them, they are balling out, man. They certainly are. Thanks for the time right here. I know you said you're in Tampa for your granddaughter?
My oldest granddaughter has a play today at her, she attends a Christian school. Okay. So we've got a play. My wife and I came down to support her and to watch the play tonight.
What's the play? Fiddler on the Roof? Wait a minute. Hold on a second. No. What's the play, in all seriousness? What is it?
Okay. Well, hey, what's the play that Quinn's doing? I have no idea.
That's a wife question.
That's like asking me.
He sounds like Kurt Warner.
Sounds like Kurt, yeah.
Kurt
right. That's like somebody going, Hey, so-and-so had a baby. How long was it? How much did it weigh? How the hell am I supposed to know that? I wouldn't ask that kind of question.
Mark.
This is a Kurt situation.
Kurt Warner came in London last week. He did an appearance, and he's like, I got to run because I'm meeting Brenda at the theater. And I'm like, what are you seeing? He goes, I don't know. I don't know.
That's 100% me. You told me to be somewhere, I'll be there.
Okay, fantastic. Either way, I'm sure she will be the star of the show. And
thank you.
Grandfather of the year, Mark Schlereth here on the Rich Eisen Show, the Stinkin' Truth podcast with Mark. Get it wherever you get your podcast. Have a great broadcast. Always love listening to you, man.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you. Take care.
One of our favorites, Mark Schlereth, back here on the Rich Eisen Show.
I am picking up that thing about Mark, what he said about himself when they win. Yeah. As we've been doing this, I know this Mark will stick it in and, you know, dig it a little bit.
That was so funny. So funny. Hey, man, he's going to try and call a fifth straight win for the New England Patriots.
It's our good luck charm. Let's just Carolina. Keep them on the broadcast,
they
baby.
Spanked Carolina, putting 42 on them after they just had been, after they shut out their previous opponent. And then they won three in a row on the road, including that started off in Buffalo on a Sunday night. They're on fire. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance offers 24/7 protection when you bundle home, auto, and motorcycle. Learn more at progressive.com. Come back, your phone calls, overreaction Monday. On a Tuesday.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more.
I didn't think the pain from the shingles rash would affect simple, everyday tasks like bathing, getting dressed, or even walking around. I was wrong. Though not everyone at risk will develop it, 99% of people over the age of 50 already have the virus that causes shingles, and it could reactivate at any time. I developed it, and the blistering rash lasted for weeks. Don't learn the hard way, like I did. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist today. Sponsored by GSK.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. We just showed a clip on our TV-only segment on our Disney Plus and ESPN app feeds of George Kittle talking about Brock Purdy. He did so on No Contest Wrestling. That's available wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll play that for you later on. Of course, all of George's appearances throughout our history of the show can be found on our YouTube channel with how many
1 million
subscribers. That's
whoa, that's cool.
Yeah, that's what we got. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the show. One of our favorites just dropped off. He's calling on our guest line. Gus Ramsey, what's up, Gus? How you doing, brother?
Rich, you know, when you go see a movie or a play and people have told you it's going to be great, you pretty much know what you're getting when you go.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go to a sporting event, it's a big roll of the dice. You never know what you're going to get.
Right.
If you hop on a plane and fly from Orlando to Denver, Colorado, it's a pretty big gamble mm-hmm. that you're going to see something great. Yes. I finally saw something great.
Your Denver Broncos fandom get finally paid off in person, is what you're saying, this past weekend.
I have been to hundreds of sporting events. I won't even count the things that I saw for work because none of those were personal, although I saw amazing things.
Yes.
But I've been to hundreds of sporting events. I've never had I was at that game game.
Mm-hmm.
That 20, 30 years from now, people are going to go, we'll still be talking about it, and I can go, I was at that game. Now I have one of those games.
That must have been incredible watching that game. When you thought it's all over and the Giants are the ones coming out with the win, that's they got the Broncos pelt on the wall. They're going to start feeling great about themselves, and then not so much for them, but so much for you.
I went out there 3 years ago for the Jets-Broncos game when Russ didn't even start.
Mm-hmm.
And Brett Rippon was the backup. And the Broncos did not score in the second half of that game. And then the Broncos did not score in the first three quarters of this game. So that was five consecutive scoreless quarters that I had paid money
to
go out. I mean, a beautiful autumn day in Colorado, don't get me wrong.
Yes, sir.
But heads were in hands. People weren't happy. You know, Thunder, the mascot that runs out after the Broncos score points, was thinking about running out after first down.
Mm-hmm.
The only members of the Broncos organizations who were in the end zone in the first three quarters were the cheerleaders during timeouts. You know, they have the parachute guys who come in pregame, and they land around the 50-yard line, and they skid for another 25 yards.
Yes.
They have more yards than the Broncos offense for the first three quarters.
Gus, ladies and gentlemen. These are the pearls of wisdom that those of the Dan Patrick School of Broadcasting get in Florida with this man being in charge of it. Yes, sir.
Do we think maybe Sean Payton should reconsider the London strategy?
Oh, God.
It didn't really, really work in London, and then flying all the way back west to play a game the following week. Can we find that plan and put it in the shredder? You know, you're just in London for 2 weeks.
Well, I think the new plan for anybody that's sitting on the East Coast is what the Rams just did, which is fly in the day before. And they were the ones who looked well-rested, and the Jaguars were the ones who looked completely jet-lagged. But I'm happy for you, Gussie. I know how much you love your Broncos. I'm happy for you.
I don't think anybody was really talking about I honestly think jet lag was a big deal for at least the first half of that game. And then it was an experience like I've never had. The Sternot interception, the place, I've never been in a building that loud. It was something to behold. So I just wanted to call in and share a little of that with you, but I also wanted to tip my cap to Mr. Brockman. I think most of America was hoping for five more years of sucking from the Patriots. It doesn't look like we're going to get that.
Sorry, Gus.
So that's a shame. And TJ, we got the Javonte Williams revenge game this weekend.
That's
so
right.
As our friend Mr. Cena says, if you want some, come get some.
Gus. That's exactly right.
Gus knows exactly how to distribute the basketball. Good to see you, Gussie. Good to chat with
Take
you, buddy.
Care, my friend.
You,
See you, buddy.
Take care, brother.
One of my favorites. One of the best who's ever produced SportsCenter, ever. Gus Ramsey. All right. It's a Tuesday after an overreaction Monday. That means only one thing. That means only one thing, Christopher. It means hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday. On a Tuesday.
All right, Christopher. What do you have over
Hey, everybody.
There?
You good?
Sup, man?
Yeah, we still haven't talked about Game 7 yet.
We will.
All right. Just saying.
Unless you've got an overreaction on it.
I don't know. Okay. I don't think so.
Okay.
It's time, watching the game last night, the first one, the real Monday Night Football game.
Oh, my word.
It's time to talk about Jahmyr Gibbs as being the best running back in the NFL.
You can throw him in there, but the best running back in the National Football League is named Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor is the guy who can actually win the MVP award this year. You've been pounding the drum on the Overreaction Monday podcast and then the Overreaction Monday radio TV simulcast segments to say that a running back is going to finish top two in the MVP voting.
They should have won a couple recently.
McCaffrey's in that mix as well.
Running backs should have won the last two MVPs, if we're being honest.
Which is Saquon and McCaffrey year before.
Yeah, of course.
I understand what you're picking up, but what I'm putting down is Jonathan Taylor is the best running back in the National Football League right now.
Dang.
Because he's the only one in that backfield, and you know he's getting it, and he is doing Saquon-type things this year that we saw from last year. He is all kinds of awesome. As great as we saw from Jahmyr Gibbs last night, I'm just going to call that recency bias.
Okay.
And the guy for the first 7 weeks of this season who has been outstanding, who has been incredibly dominant, who is unstoppable even when you know he's getting it, that is Jonathan Taylor, the Mr. Three-time, three-touchdown game guy of 2025. He is unbelievable. Onward in this segment.
I'm putting up a poll right now. Best running back in the NFL.
Go for it.
Go for it.
How dare you?
Okay, great.
What's up?
Watching the fake Monday Night Football game, it got me thinking about
why
the
NFL. Why do you call it a fake Monday Night Football game?
Look, I love the Monday Night doubleheaders, but that second game was pretty brutal to watch, and it seemed like it took like 5 hours.
The Texans don't have the offense anymore.
Well, they don't have anyone to block.
Well, they don't have the offense anymore.
Stroud is running for his life. I feel bad for that dude.
They don't have the offense anymore. How does that sound? I mean, just to be shorthand on it, but anyway, what's your overreaction?
The Seahawks are the most complete team in the NFC West.
I still think it belongs to the Rams.
I don't think the Rams have that defense that Seattle's got.
Sir, I will push back heavily on that. As I mentioned, Jared Verse, I'll tell you this one. First of all, I'll call that an overreaction. It's the Rams who are more complete than the Seahawks. And in terms of that, I mean, Cooper Kupp, I'm still waiting for him to assert that number two role. It's all Jackson Smith and Jigba right now.
Yeah.
And the Rams just have a guy who's all everything in Puka Nacua, where he's got, 45% of target share from his quarterback. He goes out, and you want to talk about complete, 4 tight ends catch passes, 2 rookies catch touchdowns, Davante Adams, who's replaced Cooper Kupp, for the lack of a better phrase, with 3 touchdowns, and Jared Verse, last year's defensive rookie of the year, has been on an absolute heater, and it's Byron Young who leads the team in sacks and is tied for the league lead in sacks with 9. That sounds complete to me. And one last quick story is Jared Verse, through the first 2 weeks of the season, Sean McVay had noticed that he's playing differently, that he's trying to too hard to make things happen as opposed to just being a guy who is relentless. He was pressing rather than just teeing it up and letting it fly. So he showed him video from last year's season and say, I haven't seen that guy yet this year. Mm. Can we see that guy from here on out, please? I'm just paraphrasing what he said. I'm sure he was a little bit more adamant about it. And since then, 3 of his following 5 games, he had a sack and a forced fumble in all of them. And he had a sack on the first drive of Sunday. No forced fumble. But he has been on an absolute heater since Sean McVay showed him some video and some film. And Verse isn't even their leading sacker. That's my long way of saying overreaction. Seattle's terrific, but the Rams are a more complete team than they. What else you got over there?
Last night showed me a lot about the Lions, obviously. They're maybe the best team in the NFC, but I'm a little worried about Tampa. Baker Mayfield, obviously MVP for the first 6 weeks, but Drake May has now jumped him in the MVP odds. Baker's now 4th. And I'm a little worried it's kind of slipping away for them. And the NFC South is wide open for the taking.
From who? Atlanta? Which is a little bit too inconsistent.
Who could take?
Yeah.
Why not Carolina?
Oh, because okay. They have one less
win than Tampa. I don't know why you're quickly dismissing them.
Because they're not as good as the.
Well, Buccaneers. I just watched the Bucs play last night, and they look pretty bad.
Well, they're going. I like it.
You liked what you saw out of Tampa last night?
But man, you're really thinking that the Carolina is equal to Tampa? Is that what I'm hearing?
He's saying that their record is only 1 game back.
I'm saying that the South is ripe for the take. I'm thinking, look, we once were like Tampa, number 1 seed. The NFC South is a lock. And I'm sitting here on October 21st, and I'm like, not so fast.
This is why he's awesome at this segment, because that's an overreaction. and it's what a lot of people might be thinking right now.
I mean, look, they are 4-3.
Well, so. I mean, you were even saying at the end of the first hour, TJ, I'm like, I still think the Bucs have a great chance to win the Super Bowl this year, make it and win it. And you're like, without Mike Evans?
Yeah, you said not to win the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Why not? I mean, if Tez Johnson can keep on flipping over people and thinking he's the MVP of the league because they're chanting MVP, I kind of dig it. You know, Bucky Irving's going to come back. Listen, Mike Evans is a future Hall of Famer. You can't replace that. Yeah. I get it, but
Godwin's still.
I'll just call this an overreaction and ask you for what else you have over there, Christopher.
There's only been 3 instances of this to take place in NFL history, and it hasn't happened in 7 seasons. I'm talking about a quarterback throwing for 50 Tutties 5-0.
Stafford?
And it's happening this year. Someone's going for 50.
Ooh, I like that.
Well, what is the current number of some of these guys?
Stafford leads the NFL right now, I believe, with 17.
Yeah. It's still a long way to go.
Well, it's we're a third of the way into it.
It's still a long way to go.
Just doing some math.
I'm trying to see who else is on that list, Chris.
Matthew Stafford has 17. Dak Prescott, having a tremendous season, has 16. Yes. Jared Goff, it's 15.
No, I mean, that's not happening.
A-Rod and Mahomes have 14.
That's not happening. It's not going to happen.
Your son, that apparently I disparaged in the last topic, has 13.
Who's this?
Baker Mayfield.
Okay. I just don't think it's going to happen. Mm. What else?
Well, you just love Matthew Stafford so much. They're the most complete team.
He has been terrific. Listen, Puka is only, how many touchdowns? He has one receiving, though. That's it.
Puka? Yeah. Not getting in the end zone, but getting
one run. Yeah,
a lot of catches.
Right. That's
a bajillion catches.
That's just the point I'm making. 50 is a long way. 50 is a long way.
It's only happened three times.
It looks like a quarterback who's leaving the pocket on like 3rd and 12 and is like, you got a long way to go. That's the way I kind of feel right now with that subject matter.
Matthew Stafford's back injury was total bunk, right?
It's just unreal what he has done.
He does not want to do the training camp thing, which I totally understand and respect.
Check out the podcast version of this segment, please, because you brought that up and that this was the year that he was going to win the passing title.
He was going to have his best season.
Best season, right? Yeah. And I said this is the season in which he's going to make the Hall of Fame.
And I think... both way to piggyback on both of
them. We actually kind of think he was already.
No, I know that, but I think at this point in time, after this season, it will be everybody
in footballdom will
agree on it. Yeah. What else, Chris?
Two more. The AFC South, watching this and thinking about the way the playoffs are going to shake out.
Yes, sir.
AFC South is only getting one team.
I don't think that's an overreaction right
one
now.
One team.
The way the Jaguars have been, shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah.
23 penalties in the last two games. And it was something that Liam Cohen saw after they had 10 penalties in their loss to the Seahawks, and says, "Hey, you know, he had a segment every." He says he has a film session or a slide session every single Wednesday, mm-hmm. where he goes over the game records of the other team to say, well, these guys can't beat us. And this past week, leading to the Rams game, instead of showing the game records on the Rams to his team, he says, here's the game records, and he put a Jaguars logo up on the screen. And then they went ahead and had 13 penalties this week. And the Texans, man, I don't know where they're getting the offense from. So I don't think this is an overreaction.
I'm curious if they'll be buyers.
Let's finish up strong, Chris. What do you got?
You have one more.
That's my boy.
Guys, you know, I think it snuck up on all of us, but the NBA is back tonight.
Yes, it is.
The association is upon us.
Yes, sir.
OKC, your defending champions. And I think they're going to repeat. They're going to be the first repeat champion since the Warriors of 17-18.
I don't think that's an overreaction at all.
The East is a little wonky this season with some of the injuries. Very wide open. TJ is looking to throw some money down on the Sixers to come out this year. You might as well just give me your cash.
I don't think that is.
No LeBron to start the year for LA.
I get it. It is not an overreaction at all. They are young. They are terrific. They have a coach. They've got a star. They've got stars, plural.
They've been there already.
They play perimeter defense, which is as dominant as anybody else. They got a shot blocker underneath. They got everything. Hartenstein,
too. They got everything.
They do. Yeah. They have everything. I don't think this is an overreaction at all. And this is such a good one, Chris. I think you need to load manage and maybe sit out the next overreaction Monday. It's a long season.
That's well played by you.
Thank you so much.
Just take one Tuesday off a week.
Exactly.
One Tuesday at a time.
Maybe next Tuesday for overreaction Monday to Tuesday. We got to load manage you. Be careful.
Only a couple of times.
We got to make sure you're going to be strong for the playoffs.
That's great management.
Okay. Yeah.
That's all that's really important is the playoffs, right?
Oh, boy. All right, let's take a break. When we come back here, there's a video that the free world has sent me and texted me this morning.
I've watched it like 12
some
times.
Poor so young good. Kid in the metropolitan it's area so who needs a hug.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
The Hyundai Hope on Wheels campaign. I've been telling you about it for a while. It does mean a lot to me. Pediatric cancer research and awareness is what it's all about. For 27 years, every Hyundai sold has helped fund life-saving pediatric cancer research. Together with over 850 dealers nationwide, they've raised more than $277 million supporting over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. Please do that. At Hyundai, hope isn't optional. It comes standard. Okay, listen. Everybody stop texting me this video, okay? Everybody's texting me this video. That's all I've been getting. Susie sent it to all of us just to make sure we talk about it on the air. Yep. But hey, Suze, I'd already received it from three different people this morning. Yep. Three. Eric Stone Street sent it to me during the show. With the text of saying, I'm sure you've seen this, but.
Gotta send it anyway.
Someone tweeted us, hey, have you talked about this yet? I hope I didn't miss it.
I don't know who this young man is. I don't know where or who interviewed him. I don't know anything about the origins of it other than the fact it is all over my text inbox today. But it's a young kid in the metropolitan area watching his Jets go to 0-7 and getting interviewed after the game.
Did I get your thoughts on the game?
I hate this team. I was born into this, and I'm not going to ever... I'm always a Jets fan, but, like, I hate this team.
I mean, can he put down the microphone and give that dude a hug? You know what I mean?
We need that as a drop.
I feel like, you know, they went back in time to the early 80s for me. You know, I'm just freshly bar mitzvahed. Hey, ask me about Dan Marino's fake spike. I'm coming out of the game. Here you go, Rich. Here's a microphone. I hate this team. I mean, I was born into fandom of Judy Garland. That's what my dad was into. My brother was the Jet fan, the Jet Met fan in the family. And I just knew, again, when my kids started coming into this world and, you know, I just knew. With Tom Brady being the quarterback of the New England Patriots and Susie's from New England, I'm just like, fine. I'm not going to sit here. I cannot.
It's wise parenting.
I cannot subject them. Lee, my nephew, my brother, Jeff, subjected Lee.
I know, poor Lee. Yeah.
And he's constantly texting me.
So that's Lee.
Can't do that.
And so I sent this video to Cooper this morning.
You're welcome.
And I sent him this best parenting decision I ever made was shielding you from this as your existence.
That was almost
is
his
what
life.
I texted him.
That is fantastic. Poor, you know, we need to have Lee call in just
Cooper
to
has
see.
The read receipts on, huh?
By the way, I watch the Yankees. I respond like that. Except there's a word that I can't say on air.
Oh, but the Yankees and the Jets, come on, Mike.
How are they the same?
They're not.
It is.
They're not.
It's been forever. Get rid of them.
You know how they're saying? Because it matters to Mike. That's all
it
that's,
does.
That's the only thing that's connective tissue is it matters to him. That's it.
The Yankees suck.
Because the Yankees have nothing and the Jets at all in the same area code of existence.
As fans.
And it's terrible what they're going through right now.
Yeah.
And Woody Johnson was asked at today's owners meeting in New York about the current state of affairs. Because there's people thinking about, is Aaron Glenn going to eat it here? And I hope not. Let's hear the answer from Woody on this.
What's your confidence level in Aaron to turn it around?
Well, it looks like he's turning around parts of it. You know, it's hard when you have a quarterback with, with a rating that we got. You know, he has the ability, but something just is not jiving. But if you look at any head coach with a quarterback like that, you're going to see similar results if you go across the league.
Somewhere, Justin Fields' ears are burning. Yikes.
Wolf. Just a nice blow dart. Hey,
but listen, it's true, I don't know what else to say.
Was it going to lie?
I mean, Justin Fields had a great week one.
That's about
he won a couple of fantasy weeks for you, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
But he was in London just like I was in that stadium in Tottenham. Listen, I'm glad to hear that he feels that Aaron Glenn is doing the job appropriately. The guy started 0-10-1 with Dan Campbell. Look at them now. Look at them now.
Can they win a game this year?
They should. Their defense is good enough. I just don't know. I'm looking in college right now. Do you want to have the first overall pick in next year's draft? Like, who's the guy to replace Justin Fields as the new hope of the Jets?
Probably going to be Mendoza
from Indiana.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know, man.
Ty Simpson is rising.
That's the point. Is who are you going to get? Like, what are you earning with all of these losses? But all I'm just going to say to this kid in New York, New Jersey, wherever you are, I feel your pain. And I wish the guy who was interviewing you would just give you a hug. Because this year, it's not going to get any better, pal. It is just not. And I have been there. And my nephew Lee has been there. And I saved my kids from being there.
Sorry, folks.
Well, the park's closed. It's not closed.
Yet. I mean,
at least it's not closed for Aaron Glenn. Let the guy do his gig. Let him instill the culture. But, I mean, to say that Justin Fields is going to hear that. And I don't know. If that doesn't light a flame under him, I don't know what it is.
Rich Tamini is saying it's going to be Tyrod Taylor this week.
Oh, here you go. Ooh. Wow, what an absolute total disaster for Justin Fields and the Jets halfway through.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.